3, verses 8 through 11. And Judah said to Israel, his father, send the boy with me, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you also, our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. For my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. If we had not delayed, we would now have returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags and carry a present down to the man. A little balm, a little honey, gum, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds.
Good morning. Let me set this story up for you. Many of you know the story of Joseph and how he was sold into Egypt through a caravan by his brothers. And through the providence of God, he had a lot of difficulties and challenges. He met all of those and eventually became second in command. Only the Pharaoh was higher than Joseph, second in command in Egypt. And now these same brothers who sold him into bondage are having to go to Egypt to get food because there is a terrible famine in the land of Canaan. And the only place there is food is in Egypt. They've already met once with Joseph. Joseph recognized his brothers, but his brothers did not recognize him. And Joseph wanted to see his younger brother Benjamin. And so he held Simeon captive and told his brothers that when you come back, you must bring Benjamin, your youngest brother, and the second favorite of their father, Jacob. And so the brothers get food and go back, and now they've run out of food, and they're having to go back to Egypt for a little more food, and they want to take Benjamin with them, and Jacob will not hear of it. He says, no, you went down and left Simeon, and now you want to take Benjamin? I don't trust you to bring him back. And finally, Judah pleads the case. He said, you must do this if you want us to go for food. And if you don't let us take Benjamin, we're not going to go. And I can understand why they wouldn't go to meet with such a powerful man unless they had fulfilled his request. Well, finally, Jacob relents and tells them they can take Benjamin with them and hopefully get Simeon and Benjamin back. But as his sons are packing to go to Egypt, Jacob says to them, take some of the very best of our land as a present for this Egyptian ruler. As a part of that present, Jacob says, take him a little honey. You know, the land of Canaan was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And so it's not surprising to me that even in the midst of this great famine, they had a little honey. And he says, take this man a little honey. It's kind of like getting a box of candy for Valentine's Day for your wife. Ooh, I love that. That's my favorite holiday because Nate and I always get to eat the chocolates together. But take him a little honey. We think man discovered honey about 8,000 years ago. And it's always been that particular thing that makes everybody's life a little sweeter. That's obvious, isn't it? I did a little bit of research on honey, and I had no idea there were so many different ways that we use honey. Now, I didn't go into a lot of research because I didn't have time. So some things I'm going to mention, you know, you want to be very careful with. But number one is that it boosts energy. And I know that to be so myself. It also is said to prevent nausea, help you with weight loss, help you to get a good night's sleep, Wow, this is a miracle food, isn't it? Supposedly it will help asthmatics, and it's also good for dandruff, for those of you who have that problem. Not asking you, I'm just telling you. It's good for skin care. In fact, if you take honey and apply it to a scar, it'll actually help the scar fade. Now, consult your doctor before you do any of this. It helps control cholesterol. It's better for diabetics than just regular sugar. It does help with gastric problems. And honey helps to prevent infection because it has antibacterial properties. All of that from a little itty-bitty bee. One of the really tragic things about honey in our world today is that the honeybee is under, I guess you could say, assault. And we don't see as many of them as we used to. If you aspire to help mankind, then start keeping bees and hives and produce honey, because it's so important to not only the ancient world, but our world also. And you know what? Joseph would have known this, being in the Egyptian culture for as long as he was. The Egyptians actually used honey in the embalming process. And Joseph would in all probability have known that. The Bible doesn't say exactly how Joseph reacted to the present of all the good things of the land of Canaan, and particularly this little bit of honey. But the reason for that is that this is when he revealed himself to his brothers a second time. And I think that just overwhelmed the present, the joy of seeing Benjamin and hearing about his father and seeing the other brothers who had changed so much. That's one of the beautiful things about this providential story, is how Joseph's brother were men who would sell their brother, their father's favorite son, into Egyptian bondage and then lie to him about it. Make him think that Joseph was dead all of these years. But you can see in this story that they've changed a lot. We'll protect Benjamin. We'll get Simeon back for you. We'll be back, Dad. Trust us. Yes. Yes, we'll take a little honey along with us to kind of sweeten the deal. You know, honey has become synonymous with affection and positive feelings and those things that we consider best in life. I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is that on life's journey, always take a little bit of honey. When we finish up here today and you maybe will go out to a restaurant to eat, take a little honey with you when you start dealing with the waitresses and the busboys and the cooks in that restaurant. You know, those people take a shellacking just every once in a while. It's even embarrassing for me how people treat them. And we need to take a little honey when we go to lunch so that we can treat these people the way they're supposed to be treated. A friend and I went to lunch quite some time ago, and she's an HR manager, HR person. And when we went in, the young woman who was our waitress who served us, we had terminated her employment at American Water here. And she'd gotten a job here. And I was teasing my associate. I said, look, don't be nice to her, be kind to her, because if you don't, she may spit in our soup. And and so it kind of agitated this other person, as I knew it would. I was just having a little fun with her. Well, unfortunately, when this young woman brought back our soup, my soup had this piece of paper in it. just a piece of paper had been crumbled up, thrown in my soup. Well, I didn't tell my associate because I know she'd get real upset. And I actually never did anything to the young woman. I mean, she violated the rules, the policies of the company, and in a way she kind of terminated herself. Do I think she threw that paper and whatever was in it in my soup? Probably not, but it was certainly something to think about. take a little honey when you have to deal with your waitresses. Think about tipping them a little more to make life easier for them. On your life's journey, take a little honey for those you work with. You know, the workplace is pretty tough today. A lot of stress in some workplaces. Managers, especially middle managers, are overloaded. And it's good that there's somebody like you and I that can offer up a little sweetener for life, because their life can be so difficult at times. I know my Milwaukee boss, that's where my company is headquartered, it reports to the Vice President of Human Resources and Public Relations, and he has to see this man every once in a while to discuss things with him to help him make decisions. And it's his boss, and his boss told him, said, "Kevin, I'll tell you how much time you have to talk to me. When you get on the first floor in the elevator with me, you have the time that I get from the first floor to the 13th floor to tell me what you want and why." Now, that teaches you how to ask for things in a very quick way in order to get them. So let's take a little honey to work with it. Make it easier on those people we work with. On life's journey, let's take a little honey to school. You know, one of the big problems in our schools now is bullying. Young people bully people that are not like them, people that are not part of the crowd. And the only thing that's ever going to stop that is when those of us who are Christians stand up for people who need our help. And it would be great if you would remember tomorrow morning to take a little honey, pack a little honey in your lunch bag so that you can spread some joy in your school. Take a little honey when you go to the hospital to have that cancer operation or that heart bypass or that mass that you have in your brain. Think about your doctors, your nurses. They spend all day with sick people. Don't you think they need a little honey? And who better to distribute that than Christians? I was in the hospital not long ago, and there's one thing I learned, that your happiness in the hospital depends upon a little button that you can punch, and then the nurse will come, unless you've been mean to her. And she might decide to spit in your soup. You know, it's terrible to be laying in a bed and you need somebody to help you to get up. You can't get up by yourself. And that's when you realize how valuable nurses and nurses' aides are, to come and help you do what you cannot do for yourself, what you've done all your life, but you can no longer do it. You know, there was a guy next to me for a while in the bed, and I'm not faulting the man for this, but he didn't have any insurance. He couldn't pay his bill. He's having the same kind of operation I was. And he became just an old curmudgeon to all of the nurses on the floor. And I could hear him because I was right by the nurse's station. And they just were going to get him out of the hospital as fast as they can. But when I left, one of the young nurses came to me and hugged me and said, "Oh, Mr. Weekly, you've been such a good patient." They always came when I punched that buzzer. And I decided when I went into the hospital that I was going to distribute a little honey to people who work very hard. For our community members, firemen and policemen and city managers, boy, those guys take a lot of flack. The people who take care of our streets, don't forget to pack a little honey in your bag for them. For our friends and neighbors, those people we love the most. You know, the biggest thing you can do for your neighbor is to convert them to Christ. And then they'll understand the true meaning of this text that I'm talking about. For family members, you know, my grandmother Weekly, always kept a bowl of honey sitting on her kitchen table. I wasn't very old, but I do remember that. I remember that, and I remember that she still cooked on a wood-fired stove and still took care of a pretty big family at that time. But I can remember eating that honey every once in a while. You know, you're supposed to use a spoon, but as a kid, I just kind of took those two fingers and dipped it in the bowl. And oh, that was delicious. Keep a little honey around for your grandchildren. Keep a little honey around for your children. Keep a little honey around for your mate. You know, I picked up a jar at home the other day, and it was obviously honey, but it had on the top of it Nada's honey. Well, it had been given to her by our son-in-law, but at first I thought Nada's honey. Oh man, Nada's figured a while to bottle me and sell me. Because I'm Nada's honey. I said, how did she do that? Clunk, I just set the jar down. Keep a little honey around for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you ever think how hard it is to convert to Christ, even in this day's world? Some of the challenges that you have. I have seen people who nobody else in their family was Christians. And yet when they were taught, they changed their entire lifestyle to follow Jesus Christ. Isn't that worth a little honey? I have to say this congregation does a pretty good job with what I'm talking about. But we can always do a little better. Let's not forget those who are less fortunate than we and those who need our help, and take a little honey and give a little honey on life's journey. I want to say one more thing and then we're going to close, and that is, don't forget to take a little honey for yourself. There is the most interesting story in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and beginning at verse 24, and it has to do with Jonathan, Saul's son. Jonathan decided one day he was going to go out and fight the Philistines. He took some men with him, but he bit off a little more than he could chew, and his father Saul had together an army and come and help him. And Saul made this crazy oath. He said that nobody is going to eat anything until sundown, until we've whopped the Philistines. Well, the army goes out to fight, and it was a very tough battle, and they get fatigued. They get really, really tired. And they're trying to get away from the Philistines, and they come to this forest. And they go in the forest, and there's honey dripping from all of these trees, wild bees, honeybees. And there's honey dripping from all of these trees. And so the soldiers would not eat this honey because of this oath that they took to Saul, not to eat anything until sundown. Jonathan didn't hear that oath. And so he puts out his walking staff and he gathers a little honey, I'm assuming, so he won't get stung by the bees. He gathers a little honey, brings it back in, and he eats it. And he gets into a lot of trouble for that. But the Bible said when he eats that honey, that his countenance brightens up. And there's a footnote that says, his eyes brightened up. That's what honey will do for you. It'll brighten you up. It'll brighten your countenance up. It'll brighten your eyes up. People will go around calling you bright eyes. And that way, you can distribute that same aura to people around you. People who really need the honey that a Christian has. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, I believe it is, the Bible says, lift up the hands that hang down. The imagery here goes back to the days of the Old Testament when the Jewish people came back from Babylonian captivity. And the idea is that they walked back and their hands were down and it was just a tough time for them. They were really, really discouraged and they needed encouragement. And that's what the Bible's saying to us. Find those people who need encouragement. Find those people who need to be uplifted, those whose hands are hanging down, and distribute a little honey. Best thing you can do for yourself this morning to get in this mode of distributing honey to those around you is to become a Christian. That's the first step. Immerse yourself in water, and as you do so, the blood of Christ will cover your soul and cleanse you of all of your sins. The most powerful thing known to man today, and yet a lot of men don't know it, is the blood of Christ. But apply the blood of Christ to your soul. It will wash your soul so that it's whiter than snow, and then you can tap into that honey reserve that I've been talking about this morning. If you're discouraged or things are just not going well for you, or you're really up against it, then you of all people need to come back to the Lord. As a matter of fact, I wish I could spend more time on where you get that honey, but just let me share one verse with you here. The statutes of the Lord, this is Psalm 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Now listen to this part. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That is honey from the comb. You know that dish of honey I was telling you about that my grandmother always kept setting on her table? She always had the comb, part of the comb itself. My grandfather would rob the beehive, and there would always be that comb with all those little holes in it, and that's where a lot of the honey was. And that's what the Bible is saying here. If you want honey in your life, then turn to the commandments of God, the statutes of God, which are finer than gold, and which provide honey as the honeycomb does. Those of you who have never been baptized, those of you who need to be restored, won't you please come this morning while we stand and sing?